This is Talking Business. We don't talk to many fund managers on Talking Business, so it's quite interesting. Jacob Mitchell, who is the founder and chief investment officer of Antipodes Partners. Tell us a bit about Antipodes. You founded it in 2015, having left one of the industry giants, Platinum Asset Management.
That's right. It's always a little bit daunting when you make that decision to go out on your own. Fortunately, I had a couple of other capable investors who joined me on that journey, and also had the backing of Pinnacle as a supporter of fledgling boutiques like ourselves, and we managed to get off to a good start from a performance perspective, and just had the backing of some of the great research, local research houses, and so it's been a pretty wild, busy, three and a bit years, but a very rewarding one, been able to invest, if you like, the business success back into building out the team and making it deeper.
So you were at Platinum for 14 years, and you rode them to enormous success. I think they've currently got $24-25 billion under management. And Kerr Neilson, the founder of Platinum, became a billionaire. He peaked at about $3.5 billion in wealth. So obviously, the question, I suppose, you had a look at that and thought, well, that was a good idea. Let's try that. But was the idea to kind of replicate Platinum's success, or was there stuff that Platinum was doing that you thought should be done differently, and you wanted to put that into practice?
Look, it's more and more of the latter. I mean, we I think investors, including. Including those at Platinum, really they're very proud about their record and the track record, and the returns that they generate over time. And we certainly wanted to build a performance culture at Antipodes. We believe we've done that. We've sort of have very well aligned, I think, incentive structures for the analyst team. We see the analyst team as being the engine room of the alpha engine room. We thought we could put more emphasis, I think, around portfolio construction and using quant both as an enhanced identification, enhancing the sort of the fundamental abilities of the sector teams.
What do you mean by that, Jacob? What do you mean by using quant what did you say to enhance the process?
Yeah, so I think quant can help at the beginning of the process and at the end.
Do you mean specific statistical data and mathematics?
No, really just using crunching, using the computing power that we have these days to crunch a lot of numbers and using fundamental data inputs. Ranking the opportunity set of companies globally. In our field of vision, there's roughly 2,000 companies globally. So we're talking about large market caps. Just being able to collate a lot of data about those companies and then organize it in a systematic way. And that helps in the identification process. So each of our four sector teams will have some standard screens that they go to, that they look at to identify the current anomalies, but it doesn't stop then. Then they will take that and they'll try and work out whether, those anomalies are actually interesting. Just because you might find an interesting, something that looks high quality on the quant screen, and it may look very cheap also on the quant screen. Now, that should be interesting. That's worthy of investigation, because we know from our quant tools that use quality as a factor, high quality stocks as measured by their long-term profitability, are 3 standard deviations expensive. So that means if we find one that is on an average...
You mean right now?
Yeah, right.
You mean right now?
Right now. There's a quality...
3 standard deviations expensive. That's amazing. I didn't know.
Yeah, and so if you find a company that's in the top decile of quality that's trading on an average multiple, you've actually got potentially a very cheap stock, because all its peers will be on at least double that multiple. So that's one way we can use the quant, is to screen for anomalies at the identification phase. And then it's up to the sector teams to take that forward. And based on their experience, based on what they believe is actually happening in those industries, will ultimately make, will be the, you know, what really molds our final view on that stock. You know, we're not, we just don't automatically invest because the quant says it's interesting. We take it further through the fundamental process.
So you use what you call the quant as a starting point?
Yeah, as a filter, if you like. It's a way for us to filter the universe, and it's ultimately allows the sector teams, which you really want them to be focused, and you want them to have the luxury of to be able to go quite deep in the fundamental analysis. The quant allows them to be broad and deep at the same time, and that's for us is the holy grail of a research, you know, of a research process, one that can ultimately, we think, the depth of the research process will hopefully minimize the number, the errors of judgment. For a fundamental approach to work, for a stock picking approach to work, you really need to minimize the mistakes.
Yes, of course. So how's that gone for you? What's your performance been like since you started?
Always a good question. Active managers, we only have, we really exist to perform. And, we've generated sort of moderately above benchmark returns through, over the coming up to 3.5 years, we're over 3% above per annum above the benchmark for across the three strategies, the global long short, global long only, and Asia long short. And, with fairly defensive positioning in the long short strategy, we've had an average net of around 60%. So, whilst we have volatility in equity markets today, we've had a very strong market generally led by the US. And we've managed to more than keep up with that with a much lower net. So ultimately, we've generated those returns with much lower volatility than the broad market.
I suspect the main question is whether you've performed better than platinum over the past 3 years.
I'll let the performance tables answer that question.
Tell us what's the answer.
Honestly, I it's not something I watch. I really don't know. And, I think it's very, one of the things I've learned over my, my career as an investor is the dangers of observer bias. If you're looking at the competition, right, you'll ultimately end up like the competition. And, we see that in our competitors. There's a reason US, hedge funds based in New York all end up in the same crowded trades. They're all looking at each other, and we don't want to fall into the trap and develop our own little, observer cult down under.
It's been a tough year in 2018. How have you found this year?
So this year is a continuation, I think, of a period where you have major cross currents. You have U.S., the sort of, you're coming to probably the end of the U.S. fiscal stimulus, which has supercharged the U.S. economy, probably forced the Fed to be much tighter than they would otherwise have been, given how lackluster non-U.S. growth has been. And that's a function of the lack of fiscal stimulus and credit and the combination of that and credit tightening in China. And then layer on top of that ongoing sort of geopolital shocks, whether you want to call it trade or something, more broader than that, which is sort of just growing US isolationism or simply the rise of China and, a growing sense of nationalism broadly across the world. We've moved from a bipolar type of you could argue we're much more of a multipolar environment now, which is one that's potentially less predictable, and And the rise of, you know, the power of the multinationals like Google, the very large US tech companies, in some ways their power is rising at a rate where national governments can't keep up. You know, they're struggling to know how they should regulate. You know, small countries are really struggling how to regulate these very large companies. And, you know, if you think about what the Eurozone, Europe, whilst it's a very large economy, its governance doesn't work as at scale. You know, it's a very slow moving entity when it comes to formulation of policy.
So, what do you think is going to happen next year? How are you positioning your portfolio for 2019?
It's sort of more of the same. I think your volatility will stay relatively high because I think the Fed will continue to. Whilst they may pause and the markets may bounce on the back of that, investors should just keep in the back of their minds that the PE on the S&P from a cyclically adjusted, on a CAPE basis, is still quite high. I mean, it's, you're talking 25, 26 times. Yes, the reported number has come down to around 16 times. But that's on a very high profit margin. Relatively low tax rate, fairly high profit margins. And I think, some of the trade moves, we don't know how that will pan out, but some of those are really poor. They're not great for profit margins. I mean, the US corporate machine has been fine-tuned by globalization, which means the extension of supply chains into low-cost labor markets. And, All the discussion around tariffs is the beginning of the unwind of that. And that's not good for margins.
We're going to have to leave it there, Jacob, I'm afraid. Thanks very much.
Excellent. Thanks, Alan.
It's been great talking to you. I've been talking to Jacob Mitchell, who is the founder and chief investment officer of Antipodes Partners.